A man in Texas is set to be executed next Wednesday as punishment for the death of a man he did not kill, even though the real killer for that crime was executed in 2002. So why is this man facing the death penalty? Jeffrey Lee Wood was the killer's getaway car driver, and he was found guilty of capital murder under Texas's application of the so-called law of parties. Texas has executed 537 people since 1976. Five have been executed under this law. Here to discuss this case and the doctrine of the law of parties is Jordan Steiker, professor of law at the University of Texas School of Law and the director of the Capital Punishment Center. Welcome to The Takeaway, Professor.
Good to be with you.
It's my understanding that in the fact-finding of this case, Jeffrey Lee Wood is the getaway car driver, not the actual killer. And it's my understanding that the Supreme Court has already said that if you drive a getaway car, you're not liable for capital murder in the same way as, you know, if you commit a act of armed robbery or something and someone dies in the course of the commission of that crime.
I think that's right. I think a fair reading of the Supreme Court precedents would suggest that Wood should be ineligible for the death penalty based on his minimal participation in the offense. But, you know, the Texas courts have ruled otherwise and are moving forward with the execution.
What would it take for the federal government or the federal court system, the Supreme Court, such as it is, with only eight justices, to get involved in something like this?
Well, it's very rare for the Supreme Court to get involved in capital cases. I think at this point, there is pending litigation in the state courts, but probably the best hope for relief for Mr. Wood would be through the clemency process. Historically, clemency was widely available in cases where the death penalty was being disproportionately applied. In recent years, though, and especially in Texas, clemency has withered considerably.
And that means that the consideration of this law of parties may not even come up in an appeal, that petitions to stop this execution may never actually deal with what we're talking about here?
I think the issue continues to be litigated that Wood is not among the worst of the worst offenders, which is what modern American death penalty law aspires to focus on. And I think he will continue to argue that the execution is disproportionate based on the fact that he was not present and did not intend for the murder to occur. But the appeals in these kinds of cases, when they occur so many years after the conviction, are compromised by many procedural obstacles.
For instance, exculpatory evidence, you know, 90 days after the conviction or something like that, a rule in Texas makes it really, really hard to bring up any additional facts. It is the case that five other people have been executed under this law. How is Wood's case different than those five people who are already executed?
This is a different kind of case. This is a case where the offender was not present, did not have a weapon, did not intend for anyone to be harmed. So being convicted under the law of parties in these circumstances, I think, is much worse than other imagined and real cases in which the non-triggerman has much greater culpability.
Does this case stand to attract death penalty advocates to insist upon this execution being carried out on time?
It's sort of a strange dynamic in Texas. The death penalty in Texas is withering. There are many, many fewer death sentences in Texas, especially compared to the mid-1990s when this conviction was secured. There are really very few people who are adamantly supportive of the death penalty in Texas. If the death penalty occurs, it's not going to be because of a swelling of support for the execution, but sort of the benign neglect of the system to be able to correct a manifest error.
What is the mental health state of the defendant at this point, or the death row inmate at this point? And is that in any way an issue in this case?
Well, it has been an issue in the case from the beginning. Mr. Wood has low intellectual ability. He also has some mental health issues. Those issues compromise the ability of the defense to present mitigating evidence at his trial. It also caused the execution to be delayed when it was first scheduled almost 10 years ago. So those issues might well interfere with the state's being able to carry out the execution. Those issues also make the underlying conviction problematic, because if his mental health or lack of intellectual ability contributed to his being an accomplice, it's that much worse that he's convicted not for his own acts, but for the acts of another.
Although I gather from the tone in your voice, Professor Steiker, you believe this is just going to happen and that there's not much standing in its way.
Well, unfortunately, my years in Texas have shown me that Texas rarely misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity for justice in these cases.
Where do we go from here? I mean, the execution is a few weeks away. It would really take a governor's clemency decision to stop anything at this point?
Well, the state courts are in a position to prevent the execution from going forward. There may be a subsequent petition in federal court. The most appropriate place for this case to be resolved would be in the Board of Pardons and Paroles and the governor's office, because they have the power to make a judgment that death is not the appropriate punishment. And I think any fair reading of these facts suggests that Wood is just not among the worst of the worst offenders. And if you have a death penalty that is designed to address the worst of the worst, it seems crazy to apply it to someone who didn't have a weapon, who wasn't present when the murder was carried out, and who didn't intend for the murder to occur.
Jordan Steiker is professor of law at the University of Texas School of Law and the director of the Capital Punishment Center there. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.